Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. With over 30 years in the health and wellness industry, I've realized there's no one-size-fits-all solution for sleep and stress resilience. What affects one person's sleep and ability to handle stress is different for each of us. The stage of life you're in, work and home stressors, and more all affect how your body handles stress and your quality of life. Join me as we explore a variety of tools, strategies, and solutions I've employed with clients over the years in solo episodes, as well as insightful interviews and experts. Together, we'll unravel more pieces of the puzzle, empowering you on your journey to calm nights and strong days. So let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. I am your host, Andy Clark. And this is episode 54, where we are going to be exploring stress relief through cold showers. Now, if you've been following my podcast or you know anything about me, you know that I don't hop onto trends. There are so many different biohacking tricks and tips out there. And I kind of look at them as dessert. So will these tricks and tips and these biohacking tools, will they help you? Like, are they the base foundational tools? If you do not have the base foundational tools, the dinner, the entree, then are you getting a really good solid base of what you need? And are these desserts helping? So there's all different things out there. And of course, my mind's going blank as I'm saying this to you. There's so many different biohacking tips and tricks out there. There's certain different ways of eating. There's all different kinds of vitamins and supplements and all of these things out there. And I kind of looked at them like dessert, because if you're not doing the base foundational things for stress, if you're continually stressing out your body, if you're continually, you know, doing the things that are continually putting you into a stressed state all of the time, or you haven't healed the damage that long-term stress has done to your body, or you haven't worked on the mental things that are continually, you know, getting you mentally into a stressed state or not allowing you to mentally handle stressed situations, then are these tools going to help you? And so that is one reason as well why I don't talk a lot about these different biohacking tools. There's certain ones that I have brought into my life, and absolutely, like with my husband and his job, when I know that he is going through a big stressful time with his job and working crazy hours. I know during the trucker rally, he worked 33 days straight, and he worked 18-hour days on average, but he had a 33-hour shift in there, a 23-hour shift or 26 and a 21. But 18 hours meant he had 6 hours to come home, see us, eat, shower, get to sleep, and prep for his next day and get back to work. So we did pull out what I call these desserts, right? These little things that I'm like, okay, these are the things that are going to help you right now that you can't rely on a regular base all of the time. But they are those desserts. They're those extra little, you know, highs and additives to help you, I guess, enjoy your meal a little more. And so that's where I've always wondered how this cold plunge was. I'm like, is this cold plunge a dessert? Is this, how does it work long-term? I always want to dive into the research and find out from the research to see how it works long-term. Because there's things like intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting has been shown that somebody in burnout, intermittent fasting is not good for long-term. Intermittent fasting for females needs to be modified for it to be okay for a woman long-term. And males seem to be good with it long-term that are not in burnout and don't have certain health issues. So I like to get the research and figure out, okay, how are these things helping? How are they? And is that a dessert or is that a foundational tool? And to me, the foundational tools are like really just making sure you're hydrated, making sure that your breath is strong, your nervous system is strong, your gut is healed, your hormones are aligned, making sure that any of the stressors, mental, physical, anything that's happening in your day, that you are able to handle those as best as possible. And then all these other things are dessert. So I've kind of been hesitant as well to try the cold plunge because I don't like cold. Interestingly, though, if I think about it and I go back, I, as a child, would always go hop in the lake, right? Early in the season, in the summer, end of the season, I'd hop in the lake, hop in the pool, and not think anything of, oh my gosh, it's cold and I can't handle this and I don't want it. Whereas now that I'm looking back at this, and now that I've learned more about cold showers and our body's temperatures regulating and how that relates to stress on our system, I see that as I was going through burnout, so my first burnout crash hit in my early 20s. And I know, like in my 20s, is when I was like, stopped swimming in lakes. It became too cold for me. I didn't enjoy it. I didn't want to get in. It was stressful to actually just jump in the lake. Going into certain swimming pools, like they had to be a certain temperature for me to go in, or my stress system would just go through the roof, just even getting into the water. And I didn't fully understand all about our stress system and how cold had to deal with it. And then I've also been very cautious because of my stress system being so sensitive, being in burnout for so many years. I mean, shoot, I was early 20s and it was only after being 40 that I really figured out how to get myself out of burnout and back on track. So I spent 20 years of my life struggling with my stress system being so taxed that I'm very cautious about from trauma. Definitely being in burnout for long periods of time can definitely put traumas on you, that my body is worried about going back into such a crash. So I started reading, though, two books by Scott Carney. So Scott Carney, the first one I read was Breath, which I'm not going to dive into at all today. Amazing book. And I got into it because how important breath is to stress systems, because I am big on breath work and breathing in order to strengthen your stress system. It is fascinating. Sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent. It is fascinating with breath work, how just working on switching from mouth to nose throughout your day, when working with first responders, that they're like, oh my gosh, I'm not in a stress state as often during my day, and I can start switching out. So, breath work has always been a big thing. I read Scott Carney's book, and it's so engaging that I saw yet another one came on sale in my Audibles, and I'm like, oh, why not? It was entertaining. Let me see how this goes. And it's called What Doesn't Kill Us by Scott Carney. It is such a good book. And it starts off by talking about him and his journey with Wim Hof. Breath also, his book Breath spoke about his journey with Wim Hof, but more on the breath side. What Doesn't Kill Us talks about the cold side. And in What Doesn't Kill Us, the story is how he got to know Wim. And how he actually started to get to know Wim Hof because he was doing an article for Playboy at the time. And he would go around and try to disprove health gurus on what they were doing. And so he literally went to Wim Hof's trainings to try to disprove what Wim Hof did, his techniques, how he worked, and that it was so effective. And the thing is he couldn't find any evidence of that, that he actually became a huge believer of Wim Hof, that by the end of the book, he talks about how he climbed Kilimanjaro in shorts. And at the top of Kilimanjaro, they had no shirt on and shorts at the top of Kilimanjaro, and they went faster than than most people go because of the breath work mixed with their ability to handle cold. Their body was so good at adapting to stressors. And that fascinated me, that book, but it still wasn't enough to get me to try cold plunges, cold showers. It was only when I actually started reading the Wim Hof Method by Wim Hof, where he starts diving into it, and they have a 20-day challenge of just cold showers. And I'm like, I can do that. Well, it was only after I read more about the book. So in the book too, they explain how our lives, we have decreased our abilities to adapt to stressors. Our homes are one temperature, you know, our cars are a temperature. We dress in like really warm amounts of clothes in order to handle certain temperatures. And our bodies don't learn to regulate enough. Like we have air conditioning in the summer, we have heat in the winter, and we're not able to really adapt to these different stressors that our environment places on us. And I really did see this. I lived in LA at one point, and I remember when I came back to Toronto, back to Canada, I was freezing cold, and I came back, I think, in September, October, and I had been wearing, I'd had a winter coat in LA that I wore some evenings in LA, which I laugh at now, a down-filled coat. And I was wearing that September, October when I came back to Canada, which it is not cold enough for a winter coat in Canada yet, if you live in Canada on a regular basis. But my body in LA had adapted to the warmth. I also lived in Japan, and it was fascinating because in Japan, it was a damp cold that the dampness would get right into your cells, and their houses are not built for the dampness. Like you would feel it in your house, at least the houses that I lived in, the gaijin, the foreigner houses that I lived in my early 20s. They're not the most expensive housing places to be living in, and they were cold and the dampness came in. Like I remember one of my friends, they had to actually use the hair dryer on their TV to dry it a little bit before it would turn on because the dampness had affected it so much. And when I came back from Japan, I wasn't as cold here because it was a drier cold. And it's just fascinating how our bodies adapt, how we do get used to adapting. My son wore a sweater all winter here in Canada. We didn't have our coldest winter this year at all. And but there were days where it was like minus 15, minus 20 with the wind chill, maybe a little more. I'm talking Celsius. So I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, but like it was under 0 degrees. Under the freezing level. And he would still wear a sweatshirt and his pants and running shoes as we were walking 20 minutes to get to Pokemon. And I'm like bundled up. And he was fine. And it was only because I had read this book that I was like, you know what? Let him be. This is great for his immune system. If his body can handle this, that's totally great. So it's one of these things where we have lost that ability to actually handle stressors in our daily life. And we have more stressors in our daily life, but we're not using simple and easy tools that are just a part of our environment that have been a part of our everyday life in order to teach our bodies to be able to better adapt to stress. I mean, this is what working out is. Working out is helping us adapt to stressors, right? When you're training for competition in any sport, you're supposed to really push yourself in practices, not every single practice, but in practices, you're supposed to push yourself to a degree so that when you're actually in the competition, you have that ability to handle the stress and to be able to peak in performance. When you're working out, you're stressing your muscles and then they need to recover. So if you're tracking this on a stress monitor, with the Whoop, they have, well, with the Oura Ring, it's a readiness score. With the Whoop, we have, they give you like a strain score, a daily strain score. And Whoop scores you in red, yellow, or green. And a lot of people, when they get these trackers, feel that they should always be in the high levels. You should always be high readiness. Like you always want like an 85, 90 on your Oura Ring readiness score. You want your Whoop to always be in the green. And the thing is that you don't. You want to make sure that you have stressors and how quick do you recover. So with the Whoop, if you do a really tough workout, you should be the next day in the yellow or the red. The thing is, how long does it take you to recover from it? Do you recover the day after? Are you back in the green the day after? Or did you move from red to yellow? Like, or are you still 2, 3, 4 days later in the yellow or the red? Because that is telling you the more that you are in yellow and red, that is telling you that you're not recovering from the stress. But if you give yourself a high level of stress and then recover from it quickly, then that is saying that your body is stronger and able to adapt to stressors more. So when we look at showers, cold showers or a cold plunge, and how Wim Hof explains it, as well as Scott Carney explains it in their books, what it is you're giving your body an instant stressor. And if you're, as you're doing the stressors, if you're breathing the way that Wim Hof teaches you to breathe, or if you're doing any other types of breathing, breath work, if you're doing your breath work the right way, then you can actually teach yourself while that stress is happening in order to decrease you quickly. So on the Whoop tracker, it actually has a stress monitor, so you can see. So I can see when I have these cold showers that I go up with my cold shower, my stress actually increased. And then you'll see I'm actually low after, like my body learned to recover quickly after. And this is such a good thing. So I'm doing, which Wim Hof has outlined a 20-day challenge. I'm past my 20 days, but that being said, I haven't done it every day for the 20 days because I need to figure out a way to remind me while I'm in the shower to do it, because all my life I haven't flipped that the taps down to cold before I'm getting out of the shower. So there's times where I have actually turned off the shower and was starting to dry myself off. I'm like, crap, I forgot. Hop back in the shower and do my cold shower. Or there's times where, like, hours later, I'm like, oh, I totally forgot to do it. But what I'm finding is the days that I'm doing it, especially like after I started doing it, I think I did it 4 or 5 days in a row, my HRV went up. Now, your HRV is your body's ability to handle and bounce back from stressors. So that tracking on my Oura and my Whoop, like it went up 10 to 20 milliseconds. It went up from what my normal baseline was after doing this cold showers. And it's fascinating because there's days where I'll forget for two, couple of days, and it will drop a little bit, and then I go back up. So it's really been fascinating in how it's helping me. I'm finding that days my brain's clearer. A lot of my stats on my tracker are better. I'm finding that I'm craving sugars and crap less. I'm sleeping better. And so it is having definitely a better effect on me. Now, this is where I'm really curious to hear from you, because I have not been doing this for long, but I'm very curious if any of you have tried cold showers, have tried cold plunges consistently, and then stopped. I'm very curious where your HRVs were. How long did your HRV or your ability to handle stressors, how long did it stay up for after you stopped the cold plunges? Like, let's say you have a cold plunge at home and you were doing it, and then you went on vacation to a warm climate where they didn't have, I mean, you could But even in warm climates, their cold showers aren't as cold as at least our cold showers here in Toronto. In Canada, just our naturally cold water is colder. So if you've done that, where you've just gone somewhere where you couldn't do the cold plunges for a while, I'm very curious to find out if your HRV dropped and how much it dropped by. And then when you got back into it, how quickly did it increase? So where I'm curious is wondering is this something that you have to do all the time on a daily basis, which with most things you do, like with breath work, it's bringing it into your daily practice. And I'm saying like it could be 3 minutes. So one of my coaches, George Bryant, teaches something called the wedge, where wedge of expectations, where you have your floor and your ceiling. So if I'm having like the busiest day or the toughest day, like if I'm going through perimenopause and I'm finding that there are 1 or 2 days in my cycle where I'm getting major headaches at the moment, my naturopath is working on them, but they pretty much take me out. And I can do some breathing, but I don't have it to sit and do all of my morning routine stuff and all my things in my day. So that's where I'm at my lowest wedge. That's where I will be really working on like maybe doing 3 minutes of breathing. And then there's other days where I'll do 20, 30 minutes of really good, like carbon dioxide tolerance breathing to be really helping my stress system, strengthening my stress nervous system, and my resting nerve, strengthening my resting nervous system so that my stress nervous system doesn't overpower it. And I do know that doing that on a regular basis, as often as I can, is super helpful. So that's where I'm feeling that this cold shower thing just needs to be a part of my daily life, where I get into the habit of every time that I do have a shower, that I do switch to cold at the end of it. The idea of getting a cold plunge sounds super cool. I just don't know how that would work. Our winters are freezing here, so it would just freeze in the backyard. I don't know where we would even put it. So, and just the time that it takes for that, whereas I'm already having a shower every day, it's not as good as the cold plunge, but I am already having a shower every day. It's an extra 2, 3 minutes of my shower, but it's not even becoming an extra, because what I'm finding is I'm starting to get into the habit of when I'm rinsing the conditioner, the soap off my body, that I'm switching it to cold, because I'm so adapted to it now that I can just rinse off the soap and do that. So it's becoming where I'm habit stacking, where I'm going to be more successful when I have a shower and doing that versus getting a cold plunge and having to add a whole new habit into my already crazy busy day. At the moment, in the stage of life I'm in, that doesn't necessarily work for me. And with my climate and stuff, I'd have to research it. But I'm very, very curious to hear from you what you think of this. Like, have you tried cold showers? Are you willing to try it? Do you want to do a 20-day challenge with me? I can totally do it. I have a Facebook. I'm actually just thinking this off my head. I didn't think of this when I started this podcast episode. But I have a Facebook group, and we could do a, I can set up a 20-day cold shower one. This would be great for my interest too, if any of them actually have trackers, and we can see whose HRVs are going up and how they're going up during the time. That would be really cool to see. If you guys would like this, let me know. You can email me support@andyclark.com, Andy with an I. If you go onto my website, andyclark.com, all the links are in the show notes. So if you go onto my website, you'll see my Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Go in any of them, private message me, or comment on the post for this podcast episode, and let me know if you want to do a 20-day challenge. Like, seriously, I literally just thought this up. So it's something I have to plan and prep and get ready for you guys, which wouldn't take long, but we can get this going if it's something that would interest you, and just see as a collective how this works for us. Help motivate one another, help keep one another on track, and see how it goes, and see if this is something that does eventually become one of our main courses, something that we do as a daily practice all of the time to help our bodies, because we have a lot of stress reducing tools, ways that we know how to reduce stress in our day with our entree, our main meal. But there's not a lot of things in my main meal that help my body actually stress and develop a tolerance to more stress in a healthy, simple way to add into my life. So I'm very curious if this starts becoming an entree or if it sticks as a dessert. Really curious to figure that out and see what you guys think too. So let me know who's in, who wants to email me support Andy with an I, A-N-D-I, Clark.com. Email me, let me know. And I mean, even if there's like four or five of you, let's do it. Let's do it in my Facebook group. It's not a group, it's just my page. So we'll do it on the Facebook page and we can all do it together if you guys want. I'm totally down for that. Or we can just do it via email if you guys would like something more private and quiet and intimate. Let me know. We could totally adapt it to however you want. Keep me posted, but I am really curious to see if you have had a history with cold showers, how it feels for you, and what it's done for you. And if you haven't, let's do it. Let's do it together. Let me know. On my website, I have a join my mailing list too. So I'm going to send this out to my mailing list. Seriously, this is just a thought I literally just made up. So let's throw this out to my mailing list. Let's see if we can get people on board if they want to do this together and what format they want to do it in. And we'll get it started in the next few weeks. This is going to be airing on the middle of April. So let's get this started like the 1st of May or something, or even before then. We can do it soon. So keep me posted and let's go from there. And I will see you in the next episode. Wait, before you go, if you found this podcast valuable, please consider liking and subscribing. Your support helps others discover these insights too. And if you're ready to transform your sleep and stress management and would like to see if we are a good fit with one another, let's chat. The link to my calendar is in the show notes below. Let's connect and start your journey to calm nights and strong days now. Until next time, sleep peacefully and stay resilient.